Welcome to another episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brawley Darbin, in St. Louis. And on the other side, we have Tony Clark, not in Harrisburg anymore, but in Philadelphia. What's going on, Tony?
Yeah, this is a whole new change. I did grab my podcast equipment. However, I didn't actually find a spot yet to podcast, so I'm in my new living room. I'm actually in a house now, which is really exciting. I'm absolutely loving Philadelphia and being back. You got some big news too. I'm not sure if we've recorded since then, but do you want to spill your beans?
I think everyone knows by now, but yeah, this will be my first episode since my son Hayes was born. He was born on February 19th at 7:19 p.m. and he was 7 pounds something ounces. I'm not good with that, but
way to go.
He was a healthy baby.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Look at us being adults. You got a child now. I got a house. I'm paying rent to the bank for the next 30 years. So, you know, it's an exciting time for both of us.
It's better to be paying rent to the bank than it is a landlord. So you got that going for you.
Unfortunately, I love my buddy Matt, but I am about to be a landlord. I'm renting out my guest room for the next year and a half to help with this morning. But I am excited to have a buddy in, someone else to watch soccer with. He's a Man United supporter, but at the same time, it'll be nice to have just another person to hang out with. So,
I mean, it would be nice to have some cash in your pocket.
Yeah, especially living in Philadelphia. I think one of my favorite things about being back is just the excitement in a city. Like, you at least have St. Louis right there, what, 30-minute drive?
Yeah, less than that, about 20.
20, right. So I was in Harrisburg, which, like, Harrisburg's fine, I guess. But for anyone who's in England or in rural America, you know, once you get to the big city, there's so much more options for food. Or I got a Whole Foods now. I know it's not a Whole Foods podcast, but do they even have Whole Foods in England?
I don't know about Whole Foods. I mean, they got a lot. They got fancy grocery stores like Whole Foods, but I don't know if the actual brand Whole Foods is in England. I'm not sure.
Okay, so imagine like the difference between, for our English listeners, imagine the difference between Sainsbury's and Tesco, and then jumping up to Waitrose. Like, that's Whole Foods. You're going to spend a whole lot of money for no reason, but it's really cool.
Yeah, well, and you got, like, in Whole Foods, you have, like, all the really good deli food, like the hot foods and, like,
fresh meat.
Salad bar. Like, it's just really, really good.
I love the butcher. Like, I can't get, like, that quality of steaks. Like, I love cooking steaks, and that's my favorite thing about having this house. I actually have a back garden now, and I'm going to put a grill out there, so I'm excited to throw some stuff on the grill. I got my first dose of the vaccine. I got that Pfizer. You got yours, or you're getting yours
yesterday. I got mine yesterday.
You got yours yesterday too?
Yeah.
That's crazy. We weren't even talking. I got mine this morning. So we'll both be vaccinated. We'll have to do a little baby barbecue. I'll have to come out to St. Louis. I'm not sure Sammy's going to want that baby traveling to Philly yet.
No, yeah. We got a trip planned in June, I think. Her family's going to Florida, so we got to figure out. She says she wants to drive, and I'm like, there's no way I want to drive 19 hours with a baby. I would rather fly, be there, if we have to stop, be there in 6 hours rather than 19 hours. And then we're going to Nashville the month after in July. We'll definitely drive. Nashville's a very easy drive from here. But
yeah, you've done a few away days in Nashville, right?
Yeah, I have. I did one, St. Louis FC, and that was – we won. That's one of the two away wins I saw St. Louis FC in their existence out of the 30-something. I only saw them win twice, and one of them was in Nashville. Not that anyone wants to hear about our personal lives anymore. I think we can go ahead and get into all the West Ham things that have happened since you and I last recorded. And since then, there have been 4 games, 2 wins, 2 defeats. We beat Spurs 2-1, lost to City 2-1, then we went on to beat Leeds 2-0, and then we lost to Man United 1-0. So I guess we can kind of – I want to briefly talk about those games. I know they were a while ago, but I do want to just touch on them. That Tottenham game couldn't have been a better first game for Hayes to enter the world into. It's always a good day when West Ham beat Tottenham Hotspur, and that was no exception. I thought the performance in that game was terrific, although the second half I was shitting myself just about the last 30 minutes, freaking out. And I will say I was exhausted. I mean, I was laying on the hospital bed couch thing, barely can keep my eyes open watching that game, holding Hayes. So it was just a wild experience. But I was able to keep quiet in the celebrations when we scored because I didn't want to wake either Hayes or Sammy up. But that was just a great game to have right after the birth of my son.
Yeah, that was a strange one for me because it was just like you said. I was sick to my stomach practically that whole game. You know, when it's coming down to the final few minutes, and I just had this nasty feeling in my stomach, like, yo, they're gonna score. You know what I mean? Like how many games have you and I watched together that it's like, oh, well, you know, this is too good to be true. This is unrealistic. Let's just take the L and move on. I mean, I know I tell a lot of stories and probably repeat most of them, but I guess, you know, if you've listened to the pod this long and you still listen with us, then you get used to it. But I remember being at the game and we were at 1-0 up at Spurs at White Hart Lane when what's his name? Nordveit.
Havard Nordveit, yeah.
When he gave up that goal, you know, it was my first ever Spurs away, and we're up 1-0. Ain't nobody like Lindsay. I mean, it was crazy. That away end was popping. It was the game that they moved it to a 5:30 English time kickoff, so the 12:30 game in America, and they rarely ever do that for Spurs.
Right.
You know,
they usually keep it early.
Yeah, so that there's no trouble. I mean, it's the whole Met police, right?
Yeah, and they just don't want people drinking all day leading up to the game.
Right. So, I mean, it was a special atmosphere that night. And then for them to come back and score two goals in the last, like, 5 minutes of stoppage time, I was there for that. So I was fully expecting us to absolutely shit the bed. And we didn't. We came out with 3 points.
Well, it was just nice to – you finally feel like this isn't the same West Ham team of old. You're finally starting to get confidence in this group of guys, and I think Moyes has really gotten a hold of these guys and installed a – well, and then you get to this week's game. I was going to say winning mentality. So the winning mentality against Spurs, and then you go and play like that against Man United. But – for the most part, Moyes has us drilled and really starting to install a winning mentality.
If you look at the lineup against Spurs, that's in my opinion, that's how we should have lined up, maybe subbing Lanzini or somebody for Lingard, because obviously Lingard couldn't play against United. But that's how we should have went out against Man United. You know, I've seen people... I've been pissed off this week on Twitter, seeing people say, oh, you can't criticize David Moyes. Why? I can't believe people are having a pop at David Moyes. He's not going to get it right every time. You know, that's fine. He's not going to get it right every time. But at the same time, this wasn't the way that we lined up today felt like we were, when I say today, I'm still pissed off. I'm referring to it was today. It was 3 or 4 days ago. We lined up like we didn't even want to go out there and win. We went out there and beat Spurs, and it was the same lineup that went out there. The lineup that he did this week against United was the same thing that happened the first time against United. We had zero possession and really didn't do anything. And maybe it's because I'm biased with the run of form we're in, but I would like to see us go out and take on Man United. I see some people on Twitter saying, well, you know, some people would rather see us lose 5-0 than and what if it comes down to goal differential? It's like, okay, well, that doesn't mean we were automatically going to lose if we went out and attacked. Okay, if we lost, we lost. But if we win, we win. What if it comes down to being down? I'm sorry, I keep rambling, but one more thought. Like, what if it comes down at the end of the season where we needed 2 points and we lined up?
1 point.
1 point. Let's say we needed 1 point and we lined up weak against Man United and didn't even try.
We missed Europe by 1 point.
It's just, so some people saying, what if we missed Europe on goal differential and we lost 5-0 because we went out and tried? Okay, well, you could say the same thing. What if we miss Europe by 1 point because we didn't go out and try against Man United? It's the same thing.
Well,
it's the same thing.
This brings me to the next result that was on the list, was we lost to Man City 2-1. You didn't hear anyone bitching after that game that we lost 2-1. Same margin of defeat against I would argue a better team, mm-hmm. And no one was whinging at David Moyes. No one was complaining about the performance. Because we went out there and we pressed them for 90 minutes. I mean, we took Man City, the champions elect, to the brink of defeat. We arguably should have taken something out of that Man City game. And my point here is now, David Moyes, yes, he's not going to get it perfect every time. I understand that. But when the error is so glaringly obvious to every single West Ham fan, or I should say the majority of West Ham fans, that Mark Noble should not be playing in the same team as Declan Rice and Thomas Souček. Just shouldn't happen. That's glaringly obvious to me. I love Mark Noble. I don't want to say a bad word about Mark Noble. I'm really trying not to. If Rice or Souček had to miss a game due to fatigue or injury, Mark Noble goes in that team. I'm okay with it because that's the position. He can play alongside Declan Rice. He can play alongside Thomas Souček. But he took Thomas Souček's position, and Souček had to press forward. And I thought most of the game, Souček looked like he had no idea what he should be doing because Mark Noble was in his spot. We've seen David Moyes play Mark Noble in the number 10 role, and that was not the case against Man United. He dropped them deep. So I am saying David Moyes deserves some backlash. He really does deserve some backlash after this game because I think David Moyes lost us that game. And that's harsh. I know the players are out there on the pitch. But when you set up three defensive midfielders in a lineup and five at the back, you're asking for trouble because Antonio and Bowen were so goddamn isolated up there. They couldn't do with anything with it. And that's clearly, we had zero shots on goal.
I just don't understand why you can't do both. Why can't we criticize him on the games that he lined up poorly and didn't get it right all the time, blah, 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 blah. But then also praise him when he did get it right. I mean, that spurs effort from the players and him taking the risk and going out there and saying, yo, okay, we're going to take it to you, Tom. That deserves a lot of credit. We could have lined up against a very talented Spurs team, even though they're on a bad run of form. They're still Spurs. I would say a lot of those players, now I might get slated for this, but a lot of those players would get into our side or at least could rotate and push. You know, I mean, so I guess my point is we went out and attacked Spurs. He lined up great, got it spot on. Much praise.
Man City, same thing.
Man City. Same thing. And we did the three in the back against City, but we still also went on and attacked.
But Mark Noble wasn't Mark Noble wasn't in that team. And I'm sorry to say this again. I don't want to sound like I'm harping on Mark Noble. I absolutely adore the guy. I have like five of his shirts. I really adore him. But when you put him in the team alongside Rice and Souček, it gums up the midfield and it slows everything down. And you could see it. You could see it against Man United that it was so slow. We had no counterattack. I mean, we had no bite whatsoever. And Souček is not an attacking midfielder. He wants to stay back and then press forward when we need him to. So I just think, again, I have no problem with the people that say, David Moyes, why are you slagging him off? But my argument to that is when you repeatedly make the same mistake over and over and over again, and you don't learn from it, then history's doomed to repeat itself. Same thing happened against Man United in the Cup. It was a 0-0. We took them to extra time, sure, play for the point, but in the Cup games, you don't get a point. You have to go to extra time still. So, I mean, yes, it was only an own goal that we lost by, but if it wasn't for Fabianski, we'd have lost that game 3 or 4-0. So I don't want to hear this, oh, we were solid. We weren't that great. I mean, Fabianski made two, I don't want to say save of the year contenders, but
it was just a great game.
Terrific. He made two terrific saves. And we should have lost that game by three or four, I thought.
But part of the thing is, it's not even the formation. You know, it's not.
No, I'm fine with five at the back.
You said, well, no, because you said it perfectly. Formation was the same. Mentality was different.
Yep.
When you had the three in the back with the wing backs, so the five in the back against City, and you had the attacking options, we were defensively sound, still played for the counter, but we really took it to City. There were times where we had City on the ropes, you know? So the same with Man United. When we played five in the back, fine, but then we literally had nothing going on because we tried to clog the midfield with three defensive-minded midfielders. And part of the issue there is you can play for the draw, that's fine, but you better get the draw. I think I put that in the group chat the other day when I said, okay, well, we lined up not to lose, and now we're losing. Like that just I don't get that.
Well, yeah,
I'd rather go out there and lose 3-0 or win. Like people always say, hey, when you go out and attack, you could lose 3-0. Okay, well, you could also win 1-0 and somehow nick a point, and it might be the craziest result, and we're all cheering, and then we're talking about how we beat Man United that one time at Old Trafford. You know, I went up there twice and got us watch us get smacked. But guess what? the two times that I went up there and watched us get smacked, we at least like kind of sort of went for it. We didn't sit back like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. So former guest of the show, Tom Rennie, who does the commentary on Talk Sports International games.
He's a great guy.
And he's on Grumpy Pundits, which I love. I think that show's funny. And he's full of really hot takes, and that's kind of his thing, is the hot takes. But he said something that which I fully agreed with. He said, if you're going to line up for the nil-nil, you better make damn sure you get the nil-nil. Now, again, we scored a known goal. Craig Dawson, unlucky. You could argue that he was fouled, potentially, because McGuire was climbing all over him. But like I said previously, if it wasn't for Fabianski, we lose that game by three. So, and again, I'm not saying from the offset you have to go gung-ho, all-out attack against Man United. I was okay with five at the back. But when you throw Mark Noble in that team, everything you do goes out the window. It's all defense. I've heard people saying, oh, I would have done the same thing. I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, maybe more than just a podcast, where someone said, oh, I would have put Noble in that team too. And I just can't help but fully disagree with that. And I just think that you lose far too much attack because you know, scoring a goal is as good as keeping one out at the other end. I mean, so I don't understand this whole mentality of, oh, we got to play with eight defenders and then hope for the best. I mean, hope that we don't concede. I just don't understand it. And I think David Moyes is selling our team short. I think, yes, we're hamstrung. Agreed. Yes, we don't have any strikers besides Antonio. I get that. We've shown that we're a good enough team to go toe-to-toe with anyone in this league this year, which blows my mind that I'm even saying that. But we are good enough to play against Manchester United, and we don't have to play scared. I said the same thing after we played Liverpool. I thought that effort was disgusting. Mm-hmm. I hated it.
Yes.
Absolutely hated it. But then we came back against Tottenham and Man City, and we were electric. We still lost against Man City, but you didn't hear anyone complaining about it. So it's not like it's impossible to go play against Man United. Yes, they're a good team. Yes, they have Rashford and McTominay and guys that can really, really hurt you on the break, and they can be really clinical. I get it. I get that you don't want to let them in behind you, but we are not the terrible team of 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, I just think David Moyes, and I hated his post-game press conference where he said I wouldn't change anything. He wouldn't have done anything differently. That annoys me to no end, because I think he knows damn well if he could do it over again, Mark Noble's not in that team, and we're probably putting Said Benrahma in there or Lanzini. I think Benrahma offers far more than Lanzini, but you can see it. As soon as, and I said they should have made the subs at halftime. They should have brought Ben Johnson.
As soon as they came on, it was a whole different thing.
I said Ben Johnson and Noble for Benrahma and Lanzini, and that's what happened. And we were much better going forward. Now, I will say, we were a little bit more open at the back. Obviously, when you try to attack and you go forward at the back, you're going to be a little more open. Bruno Fernandes hit the post off of a counterattack, and there were a couple of other counters. So, I mean, I get it. I get the five at the back to start, but it wasn't working. First half, we should have been down by two probably, and it wasn't working. And again, David Moyes is so damn slow to react a lot of the time, and he's very much reactive rather than proactive. And I just wish that he would learn from his mistakes a little bit more. And I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing the guy, because he's done a great job this season. I mean, I am criticizing him. I am criticizing him. I don't want it to seem like I'm want him sacked or anything like that. So I'm just, we can be annoyed. I think people who say that David Moyes shouldn't get any stick are silly and naive. I just think when we see crap and everyone can see it, it should be called out.
When players put in a bad performance, they get slated sometimes. So why can't the manager get slated for a bad performance? I mean, if they didn't, we're talking a whole lot about this whole lineup properly, but and we've spent a lot of time on this, surprisingly. But I guess the frustration for me to finish up here, I'll let you go ahead and finish on this as well. But the frustration for me is, maybe I'm rose-tinted from how the season's going, but like you said perfectly, this team feels different, you know? And here we are sitting fifth still with games in hand and all that, and we still play Chelsea and Leicester. I mean, I don't believe we'll get Champions League. I said my goal is that we hold on to sixth, and we can go into expectations later in the pod. But this team seems fearless. This team seems like it has a whole different mentality than previous West Ham teams. And then now we're talking about just coming out flat and bland, and it's like chicken without salt. Like, it was just it was just bad and embarrassing. Especially because I feel like this team can do better. Not because if this was the best that we had, and we're like, oh, let's just try to get out of here with the point and go home. Sure, but I think that we could have beat Man United. We clearly beat Man United earlier in the season when we were up 1-0 and completely outplayed them until we absolutely fell apart when that goal, when Pogba scored that goal when it was out of play. But even if they would have came back and won and scored the other goals, you know, we absolutely outplayed Man United.
Yeah, we should have been up by 3 or 4.
In the cup, we played them hard with that 0-0, but in going into extra time. But that lineup was and we didn't even seem like we didn't try, and we were trying to get to extra time. And then we did the same this time. And I'm like, well, we outplayed them the first game. I don't know why we didn't go for it again, but you know. Fuck, it is what it is. I don't have anything else to say on that. Do you want to talk about the other games real quick before we keep moving?
No, I think we should keep going. I want to say a few more things on the United game.
Yeah, I'm sure we have other things. I just don't want to talk about this lineup anymore. I'll let you have it. I'm just getting pissed off.
There's nothing to really get into about the game. I mean, we lost to a Craig Dawson own goal. There was a few other things that happened, but we literally didn't create anything at all for the 90 minutes. And again, this is why it's so frustrating, because we've played the big teams well this year. I mean, we haven't taken many points against the top six. We can hang in there with them. And I just don't understand David Moyes' refusal to just let them go out and play. I mean, it's just frustrating. I don't understand it. And the Mark Noble starting over Benrahma or Lanzini, I just can't get my head around it. Now, don't get me wrong. Mark Noble has a place in this squad. I think he has things to offer. I think he's in the cups, perfect guy to play in the cups. And then when we're up 1 or 2, I think he's a perfect guy to come on and shut down the game. But I cannot stand seeing him with Declan Rice and Thomas Suchek when it's a 0-0 game. I mean, because we're not going to score. It's just so obvious we're not going to score. So I feel like I'm repeating myself, but
contradictory. I don't think he has a place in the side anymore. I love him, and I think he should be with West Ham for the rest of his life. I think that he should be a coach or have an ambassador role. And I hate to disrespect the guy, because like if I met him tomorrow, like non-COVID, or if we both had the vaccine, I would give him the biggest hug. Like, he's a hero, and I don't think he has a place in the side. Like, I don't think
in this squad right now, with how bare bones we are, he's not a good substitute to bring off the bench when we're winning?
Yeah, like right now, but I guess it was more so for next year. I was kind of transitioning out of this conversation, but like I don't want to see like 35-year-old Mark Noble even coming off the bench. Like, I would like to see us invest in more depth and or some young guys who like might be able to. Like, I would like to see him maybe at training so that he can mentor. I mean, the dude has a wealth of knowledge and understands the club in and out. That's why I'd like to see him as a coach. But no, I really don't even as a sub really want to see him anymore. And I'm going to get slated for that opinion, and I don't really care. Like, I feel bad. Like, I love the guy. But it just doesn't do it for me anymore. Like,
I couldn't disagree anymore. I could not disagree anymore. I think, again, I've already said it.
I'm going to fly over for – I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to fly over for his last game. Like, he's special. Like, he's one of my favorite players of all time. I mean, he was there when I started watching West Ham that, like, super long ago. I mean, think about it. I started watching West Ham maybe 2010, the year we got relegated, or the year before, whatever that was. I mean, he was around then. Like, he's that special. Like, he means a lot. So I don't take this comment lightly. I don't think he's up to par. Maybe in like the 75th minute as a sub, the whole.
That's what I'm saying.
But I would like to then sometimes see us go for the throat. I don't think you're playing well.
I don't think that's realistic.
I think if you're playing well and you have a team on the ropes and you're up 2-1, I think you go for it and get the third. Like that's how I operate. That's how I would want to see my team play. I've seen us as West Ham do that all the time, where we sit back, we go up, we sit back, change the mentality, and then get smashed up because we couldn't hold on.
Yeah.
So like, I don't see that. Like, I don't have any interest in seeing Mark Noble come off the bench like that. And it's just not for me.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't disagree anymore. I think there are plenty of situations where in the 80th, 85th minute, you're clinging on for dear life and you need that extra holding presence, that extra, not necessarily defender, but someone who can come in there, calm everything down, and close up shop. I think he's perfect for that. And I think he has a place in the Premier League for that. And I think he still has a place with us for another year. And that brings us into the fact that Mark Noble just signed a one-year extension, which some people were and some people were not happy with. It seems like you would be on the opposite side. I'm okay with it. I'm for it. And I still think, again, off the bench in the cups, I think it's a perfect situation for him to go out on. And probably this shouldn't factor into wanting him, but I just don't want to see him go out in an empty stadium. Now, I guess we are going to have full capacity for the last game, potentially. I'm not sure on that. I'm not sure of the facts on that, but I know fans are being allowed back in the stadium towards the end of the season. But I want to see him one more year, give the last hurrah, and I still think he can do a job. Now, I don't want to see him start. I really don't want to see him start unless Declan Rice or Suchek's injured, but I think him coming off the bench in the 80th, 85th minute, maybe 75th minute if you're really clinging on. But yes, in a perfect world, if we had this bountiful squad and we could afford to have another striker besides Mikel Antonio, because you know he's dying and he's gassed at the end of the games and you're going to have to defend, I just think he's perfect for that. And I think it's harsh on him to say you don't want to. I think it's harsh that you don't think he deserves a place for anymore at all.
Well, I think it's harsh on him for what you're saying, as in we're almost needing him for the ineptitude of the squad depth. Like I would like to see somebody who can start some games when need to be. Like that he's. In a ideal utopian society where we have more squad depth and maybe someone of the same or maybe slightly more talent, I would like to see that squad spot used on somebody who would be able to come in off the bench.
We agree there.
Solidify a game. Right. Solidify a game and then somebody who could start in a rotation of games.
But we don't have that. Like,
right. But I'm saying, like, I guess where my point is we should. We agreed. Don't. I think we agree there that he shouldn't start, and that this is the role he's in, and he fits the role. I guess my issue is my gripe is more not with Mark Noble, it's with the board and David Moyes and whoever's doing recruiting and funds. Is we're relying on a Mark Noble who we're like, I don't think he should start, but he can do a job. Well, maybe we should get some guys in there who can start and do a job when called upon.
No, I agree with that.
I think that's what my frustration is. So, sure, I'll concede that. Yeah, I think he can do a job now, but I don't even want to see him in that role. Like, I think that he has more to give at this age in training the young guys and trying to give that West Ham mentality. I just don't see it on the pitch. But you're perfectly right where we don't have that depth that I'm asking for. So, I think it's a catch-22.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the owners will surprise us and we'll spend some money in the summer and then hopefully bolster a squad for Europe, hopefully. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but hopefully we're bolstering a run at Europe. But, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, Mark Noble doesn't get anywhere near this team, but we don't live in that world, and I don't think we will next year either. And I think for the European games, I mean, we might need Mark Noble. I mean, we might need that squad depth anyway for where a guy, we just need an extra holding midfielder. Because really, after Rice and Suchek, we don't really have anything besides Noble.
I think that's part of the problem. But no, yeah. I feel bad because I know you should be strong about an opinion, that you should stand by your opinion. Like, I feel terrible for having this opinion. I do. I love Mark Noble. I hate to be one of the I feel like this is one of those opinions of young kids who don't know anything about football, don't know anything about soccer. All they know is Twitter, and they don't respect the fact that Mark Noble has been here. Like, Mark Noble has been here forever, and he's been a great servant to the club. I just don't see him in the side at what, 34, 35 anymore. Like, I just that's just not for me. Sorry. I see him as a coaching role or as a youth manager or an ambassador, someone around the club the rest of his life. Like, I would love to see him at the games, in the box. I don't know. I just it's just not on the bench.
We'll just agree to disagree on this one.
I'm not trying to convince you. I just, you know, it just is what it is. I feel like I'm apologizing for my opinion because I don't want to deal with the bullshit on Twitter. Like, oh, fuck this podcast because he doesn't respect the history. It's like, what the fuck?
No, I think you'll find there's plenty of Mark Noble haters as almost as much as there are lovers. And I'm not saying you're a Mark Noble hater. I'm just saying I think you're going to find people that totally agree with your view. I just think...
Right, but that's the problem, though. Think about how that you describe that opinion as in, like, why can you not that you are saying this specifically, but that's the perception of this fan base is like, oh, you don't want Mark Noble on the side? Well, you fucking hate him. It's like you're a Mark Noble hater or a lover. It's like, no, like, I love Mark Noble, but, like, I just don't want him in my side anymore.
And by the way, folks, happy St. Patrick's Day. We are recording on St. Patrick's Day. Tony, are you a St. Patrick's Day guy? Do you normally go out, do anything for St. Patty's Day?
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I thought that was this weekend.
So, no, it's today, yeah. Well, the celebration was over the weekend, but today is actually St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, well, I still double missed it then because I thought it was this upcoming weekend. I mean, I am not. It does not interest me. I respect the culture. However, it's one of those holidays that Americans have, like, super Americanized the culture.
Oh, couldn't agree more.
It just doesn't do it for me. Like, I don't enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Like, I don't do Cinco de Mayo.
Same.
I don't do really big American holidays like that. Like, well, we take other cultures and then we're like, yo, let's just American it.
Well, no, it's not even really Americanizing it. It's just stereotyping whatever that country is known for and then blowing it way out of proportion. So, yeah. and using it as an excuse to get hammered. I like St. Patrick's Day. I have fun. I have fun memories on St. Patrick's Day. I'm not bashing you if you're into it. I think it's a good excuse to have a good time. But it's just that. It's a holiday for people to get wasted, and it's just a good excuse to do so, and just not really my thing. I'll wear green. Like, I wore green today. I wore my London Knights hockey jersey. It's a green hockey jersey. But outside of that, I don't really celebrate it. I just wanted to make sure I shouted out the holiday.
I will say I have no place to judge because my favorite holiday is, like, built on, like, shitty values and terrible history.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah. See, look, you knew exactly what it was. Well, it was Columbus Day, so it was the second worst.
Yeah.
So that's, like, and because I enjoy, like, the family atmosphere and getting together and like, eating a big meal, and I'm a big turkey and stuffing guy. So that's my favorite holiday. So I have no reason to judge someone who's like, yo, let me just, like, culturally appropriate this holiday and get smashed. So, like, if you want to do that, you go right ahead. That's all you. That'll be the pot calling the kettle black. You know, I can't.
Yeah, just don't be racist when celebrating Cinco de Mayo, please. That's my, like, one of my biggest pet peeves. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. One thing before we got off the Mark Noble discussion completely, I wanted to ask, do you think he is deserving of a number retirement, and B,
ooh,
and B, do you think there should be a stand named after him? Or even, I went as far as to say, I thought if they did it, if they named the stadium after him, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I'm not saying they should do it. I don't. But I just want to get your views on where do you think the legend that is Mark Noble resides? Because, I mean, we got a very long conversation on a group chat.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah. And there are people that don't think he deserves to have his number retired. You're entitled to that opinion, but I wanted to see where you stood on that.
Yeah, it got spicy in the group chat the other day. I was like, oh, damn.
My thing is like, just because we're disagreeing doesn't mean that we have to, like, I'm not mad at you if I disagree with you.
No.
But, like, some people take it that way. I'm not saying that person did take it that way. I'm just saying in life, people can disagree and still be friendly with one another, and you don't have to be petty when you don't agree.
No. Spicy. No, it wasn't that spicy where it was, like, going to be, like, ending friendships or cutting the blows, but it was like really good conversation back and forth. Where I stand is like, I don't really care. I'm cool with whatever. Me personally, like if they didn't do anything, I'd be like, okay, well, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I would like to see a number retirement. I think that it's, I think he's deserving of it. The argument is that like he hasn't won anything, I hear. I don't agree with that. Like, I don't care if he's won anything. If you look at the squads that he has worked with over the last, what, 10-some years and 500-some appearances, like, they're pretty bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, he's been with West Ham since he was 13 years old, and when he retires next year, he'll be 34.
Right, so 13 years old. Let's say he broke into the first team at, what, like 17 or 18?
Somewhere around there, yeah. We would have to look up.
Okay, so 18... minus 34, quick maths, last 16 years. So 16 is 2021. I know this is a terrible podcast. In 2005. So, like, think of every team that we've had since 2005, right? I'm just guessing without doing any research. Like, who would be the best player since 2005? Just throwing it out there that he would have played with.
Dimitri Payet.
Payet, maybe.
Declan Rice. Did he play
with Di Canio? What year was that?
No, he didn't get to play with Di Canio.
He
broke into
folks,
the.
Just so you know, my history is bad. So.
He broke into the senior team in 2004, I believe. Di Canio left us in 2002 or 2003.
Okay, so yeah,
but I would say Payet.
Do really bad with it. Okay, so let's just say Payet. Like, that was the best player that he's played with. We retired Bobby Moore's number 6. Yep. And I see you actually have some 6. Was it hockey jerseys behind you? Who's that?
Oh yeah, that's Ryan Whitney from Spittin' Chicklets. That's his number 6 that he wore in Edmonton.
So, you know, that
I was at that game when they retired that number, by the way, in the preseason. Who was it? Matt Upson wore it for the first half. They retired it at halftime, and then he came on with, I don't know what number he came back onto the pitch with, but it was a preseason game against Villarreal in like 2008, I think, and I was at that game. Fun fact.
But think of some of the players that Bobby Moore played with. You know, the whole West Ham won the World Cup thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you had 3 World Cup, I mean, English national team side players, and they quote-unquote won the World Cup. And, I mean, that he had an incredible West Ham career, greatest player of all time, arguably, for West Ham. And he has his number retired, and people were like, well, it's because he was successful. Well, yeah, of course he was. Did you see the team that he played with? Like, those are some, like, historical English legends. You know, same with, God. My point is, I don't think you can measure his duty to the club on success.
Yeah,
I think you can only measure on loyalty. And if that's the case, Mark Noble's been loyal to this club since you said he was 13 years old, broke into the team in 2004. It is now 2021, and he's still with the team. Loyal, the next closest player on any team in the Premier League is Seamus Coleman, and he's been with Everton for 11 years. You know, so I think he does deserve a number of retirement. I don't feel like naming the stadium. I think that's kind of just – I don't see the need for that, especially because I think that we should eventually sell the rights, or the Olympic Stadium should sell the rights to the name for financial reasons. And also, I don't really think a stand is necessary right now. But, yeah, I'm totally cool with retiring the number 16. And also, it's, who cares? It's number 16. It's not like it's like the number 9 or 10 or something where it's a traditional football number. You know what I mean? Like, fuck.
That's the argument I was gonna make. He signed with the club as a youth at age 13, and didn't play a single second for another club outside of his loan spells. Which, I mean, it's a loan spell. He's still a West Ham player, so I don't take that into account. When he has had offers to leave the club and make his wallet a lot fatter than if he would have stayed at West Ham, and I think you will never ever see another player do what he did again and stay with that club from minute one to minute 9 million at the end of his career. Harry Kane right now is on track to do that, but I think he's going to leave once he realizes Spurs aren't going to win anything. I think he'll go to a Man City or somewhere like that. Declan Rice is somewhat on track to be doing that. Hopefully we can convince him to stay. Again, I have my doubts on that. I think eventually he'll want to go. My firm belief is that I don't think anyone else will do what he did again for as long as he did. And I think that loyalty should be rewarded. He should definitely 100% have his number retired. If he doesn't, I want that locker room from here till the end of time be damn sure no one wears number 16. Because if you do, I think it's a slap in the face. I don't want to see anyone else wear number 16 for West Ham again. I think you're spot on. It's not a traditional 1 through 11 shirt. Like number 6 was a big deal to be retired. 16, I don't think it's not that desirable of a number anyway. So
right.
If they retire it, I would be thrilled and I would love to be at the retirement ceremony. And one other thing, I think the Betway stand should 100% be renamed the Mark Noble stand or the Mark Noble Betway stand or something if they want to keep the sponsorship in the name.
But we're on the agreement that I think that he should be the 16, as I just got done. And this is why I was getting pissy earlier, and I'm glad we took a little mini break. I was getting angry because I cannot want him in the side and also want to retire the number 16 number. Like, that's a very viable opinion that you don't want him in the team, but you also want to honor his legacy and what he's done for this club and his life. You know, he's been with the club more than he's been alive. You said he's been at 13, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's way more than 26. So he's spent 66% of his life practically at West Ham United. Quick math, maybe yep. Closer to 60, but you get my point. So I think his service to the club and as a partnership, as his career, I think that he should be honored for that.
Yep, I would love to see him one day, if he's good enough, manage the first team. I would love to see that. And I do think that former players seem to get an easier ride into being a manager that don't necessarily deserve it, a la Frank Lampard, a la Mikel Arteta. I mean, the list goes on. Wayne Rooney's doing it. Eventually, he'll probably take over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, I think...
He's done well to turn Derby around, I will say.
He's done good at Derby, yeah, but
it's a whole different ballgame.
Frank Lampard did, too. Frank Lampard did great at Derby, and he sacked after a year and a half at Chelsea, which I thought was harsh, but you can see now with Tuchel, they're a much, much stronger opposition than... I mean, they're unbeaten in 11 or something now.
Yeah,
and they knocked out Atletico today in the Champions League. So I mean, they're out, and that's who scares me the most. If we're, again, I don't know that we're going to get Champions League, but I'm saying if we're talking about getting to Champions League, that is the team that scares me the most, that could knock us down and keep us down out of those places.
Okay, I got a take on that though. I really got a take on that. I think if anyone, I'm not worried about Chelsea. I think that they already pass us, and I think that they stay there.
So I'm fourth, yeah.
Yeah, I think that if we were to get Champions League at the end of the season, I think we'd take Leicester's spot. With their form and injuries, like they've won now two games in a row, but it was against Brighton and Sheffield. They drew that draw against Burnley was bad. They lost to Arsenal. They have lots of injuries. I think that if anything, we would get to take their spot. And we play them, and we play Chelsea. So there are 2 6-pointers coming up in the next few weeks as well. But I think if we were to get Champions League, it would be stealing Leicester's spot. But that would be on the assumption that we hold back Liverpool, because look at the run Liverpool's in.
Yeah,
got some actual center backs. So
and you got to think they're going to make a push, too. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really hard to make a Champions League push.
That's why my prediction earlier in the pod is I think that we should aim for sixth. Assuming right now we're in fifth, assuming that we can hold off Spurs, I'm not impressed with them. Hold off Everton, they're impressive on some days, and then they just took a loss to Burnley. So I think that we could potentially hold them off. I don't think we hold off Liverpool. I don't. So if Liverpool didn't stay healthy, I think we could, but they seem to be getting some players back. I was talking to my buddy David, who's a Liverpool fan, and he's on a super high right now. So I think that's a little bit concerning for me, and I think that we lose our spot out to them. But sixth place? I mean, I said that we would finish top half, but I didn't say sixth. You said that you thought we would
17th.
Be finishing 17th. So I would say it would be a success, and I would praise Moyes, and
Sixth would be an absolute success. I totally agree with that. And that should be, I believe, a Europa League spot if one of the top five don't win the FA Cup. Is that right?
No, it's the opposite. One of them would have to. Somebody has to win. One of the top five has to win the FA Cup, and one of the top five, six has to win the Carabao Cup, or whatever it's called now.
So we're hoping
because
we're pulling for the
spots keep pushing down. You know
yeah.
I mean?
So fifth could be the only European spot if worst case scenario.
Yep. Worst case scenario, fifth is the only European spot. Seventh would be if the other two are won by like a City or Chelsea, and it gets pushed down.
And that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, I don't know how it factors with, like, my knowledge on this is all wonky. I don't know how it factors in if Liverpool or Chelsea or somebody was to win the Champions League, because that's also – the Champions League is an automatic spot back into the Champions League the next year.
Yeah.
So it gets all wonky there. But
I don't think the fair play one is even there anymore, the one that we got the last time we got in.
That's ridiculous.
So. Yeah, and I don't think that slot even exists anymore. So I'm just – Let's do our own thing. Let's not worry about what other teams are doing. But I am. I think you're right. If we finish sixth, seventh, even still a success. I will at this point in the season, if we do not finish in a European place, I will look back on games like this Manchester United game, the Liverpool game, and like the Newcastle game. We will look back, and I will be really really irritated still about the way we went out and attacked those games, because that brings you back to your point that if it comes down to a point or two and we're going to regret not going for it, and that goal difference is going to make an ounce of difference. But, I mean, the goal difference could make all the difference in the world. We don't know. But if that's
the case...
Well, we're
not going to know until the last game.
Yeah.
And also the society, the results are in our hands. You know, those last three games are all winnable. So, yeah. I mean... If we can get through this stretch, this is going to be a really tough stretch for us. But if we can nick some points in the rest of this stretch, our last three games I'm pulling up here are Southampton, West Brom, and Brighton, not in that order. And then we play Everton also, which is a six-pointer, and Burnley. So those are our last five games. Burnley, Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton. I mean, there's lots of points there in that final stretch, including a six-pointer against Everton. So... I mean, anything can happen at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we've got our next three are Arsenal, Wolves, and Leicester, so that's going to be really tough. We do play Arsenal on Sunday at 10 a.m. Central Time, so we have officially sprung forward here in the United States, so our clock went forward on Sunday, so we're only 5 hours in the Central and 4 hours difference on the East Coast for another week, and then we'll go back. But it's a 9 a.m. or a 10 a.m. kickoff here, 11 on the East Coast. What are you feeling for the Arsenal game? It's at home against what position is Arsenal in the league right now? 7th, 8th
match? Arsenal in the league, let's see, I have it up here.
They're 10th. So they are 7 points behind us. So, I mean, this really is a game that, again, I hope we don't come out and play scared. The first Arsenal game earlier in the season, I thought that we played well enough to at least get a point, and we probably should have won that game. And that was a that's when I said, I remember the quote, I said, good teams find ways to win and bad teams find ways to lose. And turns out that was wrong, because Arsenal have been crap this year and we've been really good. So what are your feelings going into this one?
That Arsenal game was the complete change of the season for me. I know it was the second game of the season. But the fact that the mentality changed from that horrible, horrible Newcastle game. I mean, think about how far we've come from that Newcastle game, Brawley. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I was looking like an idiot. We did that podcast with Dave and X, and I was like, oh, we'll be all right. We didn't do any investment, and we'll finish top half. It'll be great. I think that this team can do it. You know, we watched that Newcastle game, and it was like, oh, fuck. You know, Yeah. And then that Arsenal game that we lost, and we started the season with 0 points after two, but you can look at that Arsenal game and you're like, yo, we really took it to them. Complete different mentality. So I just hope that we get that style, and I hope that we get the run of games that we were on where we took it to Spurs. If we come out against Arsenal and come out soft, we will lose that game. And I don't even – if we play for a draw, we will lose that game. We need to play to win, take a loss or a win. I think we can. I think the talent's there, but I'm not even going to make a prediction. I can't make a prediction because I have no idea what lineup Moyes is going to put out. If he puts out an attacking lineup, I think we have the quality to beat Arsenal. If he puts out a soft defensive play for the draw lineup, I think we lose. That's my prediction.
Yeah, Arsenal.
Because I don't think there's any way that we sit back and get any points out of that game.
Yeah, Arsenal seem to have our number. Sorry, yeah.
Arsenal have our number, but like if we went out and took it to them, they're not good. They're 10th. They played terrible this season.
Yeah, they're coming off of a good result. They did beat Spurs in the derby, but again, what I say about derby games, form goes out the window. I firmly believe that derby games, you can't take form into account whatsoever. So I kind of throw that out the window, and I look. Who scares me on Arsenal? Saka scares me, and that other kid that they've got now, Odegaard. He's a decent player from Real Madrid on loan. And then looking at Lacazette and Aubameyang, they still scare me. So, I mean, Arsenal does have attacking prowess there, but I think I would take our defense over their defense any day of the week. From the midfield on back, I would take every single one of our players over theirs. There's not one defender or central holding midfield player or goalkeeper that I would take over what we have at West Ham right now.
I mean, the good news is that they're coming off a game tomorrow against Olympiacos.
That is good.
So, I mean, I'm assuming they might rotate their squad. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But either way, that could be maybe a saving grace. But at the end of the day, you know, we have the talent to beat them one-on-one. I firmly believe on everybody's fit and how on this form that we're playing this season, I think we could beat them.
I think we should.
If the mentality is correct, and I think we should. I think that they've got it all wrong. I think that they're a mess this season. They're on a better run now, though. Like you said, they did beat Spurs and they did beat Leicester. But I'm. It all depends. This is bad podcasting. I'm rambling now. I think it all depends on whatever Moyes does, and that scares me.
I think I'll give a prediction. I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win. Or a 1-0, I'm not sure. The predictions league for Dave and X, I'll probably go 2-1 West Ham. That's optimistic. But I think, yes, Arsenal they're not really our bogey team because normally they're above us, but we don't seem to ever get results against Arsenal. I think our last win was when Declan Rice scored his first goal for the club. And then before that, it had been a while probably. I don't know if... the last time we beat them was on the opening day back in 15-16 when I think I remember Kouyaté scoring and someone else would beat them on the opening day of the season. That might have been the last time before that, but I think we get it done. I think I'm finally – normally I'm like the doom and gloom negative Nancy, but I'm confident going into this one. I'm confident that David Moyes will learn from his mistakes. If he doesn't, I'm going to be, again, calling him out and being really annoyed. But anyway,
look at you, Brawley. Hold on. Look at you. You got it spot on. So the last time that we beat Arsenal was 1-0 when Declan Rice scored in January 12th, 2019. And then the last time we beat them before that was 2-0 against Arsenal at the Emirates.
That's 9 now, not 8.
What is that?
So someone sent me a Snapchat of the Rangers Flyers game, and it's 9-0 Rangers right now. That's what that was. So that's a rub.
Really? I didn't even look at the score. Yeah. I know it was 1-0. It was one. Yeah. Is it really not? It is
in the second
after
period.
Two?
In the second.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
And this is staying in. I'll edit out the dead air, but this will stay in. So we're rubbing it in that Tony's Philadelphia Flyers are losing 9-0 right now. So
in the second period, that'd be like the 60th minute. Imagine being down 9-0 in the 60th. What is that?
The Flyers are the new Southampton.
Oh my God! Okay, sorry. No, I was saying you're spot on. Then the last time we beat them, before that, the Declan Rice 1-0 was the opening day of the season where the great Reese Oxford.
Oh, that's right. That was that Oxford game. Yep.
Yep. And Kouyaté and Zarate scored.
So my memory served me good on that one for that stat.
Yeah. Reese Oxford.
Yeah, now he's not pulling up any trees at Augsburg right now either. But anyway, we can move along to our... we did get a few questions on Twitter, so if you want me to go ahead and start us out, I can.
Yeah, please do.
The first one here is from Claret and Big Blue, and he says, why does Moyes still fear Man United? So positive against every other team except for the three times we played United this season where we tuck our tails between our legs. So I think we kind of already talked about that. I don't know why he's scared. Honestly, I think we did a good job explaining we don't think that it's warranted, and I think we should give it a go. And I think that phrase gets overused. When I say give it a go, I'm not saying we should go 4-3-3 all out attack. I'm saying I'm fine with 5-4 or whatever the formation is that we play five at the back. But Mark Noble is the problem, and that's the biggest thing that slows everything down. And we can't just let teams take the game to us. We got to be willing to press again, like we did against Man City. And we did against Tottenham. We got to be able to press, force the issue, and then create some chances. We didn't even have a single attempt at goal against Man United, so I think that's a problem. Do you have anything more to add to that?
Yeah, but I don't even agree with what he said. I don't think that we sat back against Man United the first time because, like I said, it's not the
The first game. You're
it's
right.
The mentality. Like I'm looking at the first game when we lost 3-1.
But we were at home here. We were at home, and but that doesn't take away the point. But I think that's the difference potentially. I don't know. There's no fans in the stadium, but
oh god. Okay, but the point is, here's the lineup real quick on the game that he's referring to, the 3-1 on the first one. I don't agree with that. We sat back. You know, we had Allaire, Fornals, and Bowen up top. We had Sofao and Masuaku back in there. Remember that guy? And Suchek and Rice. You know, and then our three in the back. And I think we still had opportunities to take it to them.
We should have been up by 3 or 4 in the first half of that game.
We should have. We absolutely murdered them in the first half. We were up 1-0, and then we fell apart when they scored, like I said earlier.
And Nick at USAWHU2 actually replied to Claire and Big Blue and said, we weren't scared of Man U the first game. Should have been put to bed at halftime, which is exactly what me and you were saying.
Oh, and you know, and they did say true, but once the first goal went in, we seemed to vanish, which is what I said. But that's the truth. So it wasn't we sat scared. It was we went at them until we absolutely fell apart when they scored. So, you know, I guess it is what it is. I guess maybe that was what Moyes is doing. Maybe you and I are playing checkers and Moyes was playing chess. That maybe if they scored one goal this weekend, we would have capitulated.
Yeah, who knows?
However, I guess the argument is against that is the opposite, is they did score and they didn't go to town. So no. I don't know. Do you have the next one up? Put my phone down.
Next one here is from Pork Steak Schmuck. He has two of them.
Hey.
And he says, in honor of the holiday, which is today's St. Patrick's Day, he asks, what's our favorite Irishman to play for West Ham? So do you have a favorite Irish player that you can think of off the top of your head to play for West Ham?
Yeah, I actually do. I wouldn't say that he was the most popular, but he was my favorite. Do you remember that podcast episode where we did like our favorite 11 or favorite players that we've seen play? Or whatever episode we did.
Vaguely remember.
We did an episode of like our favorite West Ham players 11 of when we were supporters, not like all time. And who was one of my strikers?
I think Robbie Keane is who you're going to say.
Robbie Keane, yes. So if I had to pick my favorite Irish player, it would be Robbie Keane.
Are we counting Declan Rice in this or no? I think we're going to say no. If I'm picking my favorite Irish player, it has to go to the Irish Messi, Joey O'Brien. So that was my era growing up of West Ham that I got to watch him. And he was just a solid player. Not great, not terrible, just a solid player. I don't know what Joey O'Brien's up to these days, but I think Joey O'Brien is my favorite Irish player to ever play for West Ham. Secondary shout-out would be Darren Randolph. I love Darren Randolph.
Guy DeMau from Ireland?
You got the flag right. That's the Ivory Coast.
I know, I'm just playing.
I thought you were being serious. I was like, oh my god, he didn't just say that.
It was total joking.
The other, outside of those four players we mentioned, the other three players to play for West Ham and Ireland, from Ireland, is David Connolly. Again, slightly before my time. Clive Clark. In 2005-06, which I don't even really remember Clive Clark, and then 2002-03, Gary Breen. But that's all the players to play, or Irish who played for West Ham. And then the second part of his question was, with the end of the season closing in, where do you realistically see us finishing? To me, it's looking like fifth or sixth, depending on other results, of course. Isn't it still the case that a top four club winning FA Cup means sixth is a European spot? So we touched on this. Yes, if a top four team wins the FA Cup and a top five team wins the Carabao Cup, then those two slots slide down, and European can go all the way down to seventh. But
yeah,
I
think Europe is a must at this stage in the season.
Agreed. I think it'd be disappointing.
Top half at the beginning, like I said, yes. Knowing where we are now and seeing the potential and talent that we have, and mentality and strength and charisma and locker room energy, I think Europe is a must. I wouldn't say Champions League is a must because I'm not a I don't want to be unrealistic, but I think Europe is a must. That would be fifth, sixth, or seventh, and I think that we can do it.
Wouldn't it be great to go see us do like Bayern Munich or Barcelona away next year? How awesome would that be? A guy can dream.
I said to David the other day, my Liverpool buddy, I said, yeah, I'm glad I got my vaccine now because I can't wait to travel to Paris for a cheeky night out at the Parc des Princes or whatever.
Yeah, if we do make Europe, I think I'm going to have to, and if fans are allowed, of course, I'm going to have to find a way to do a European away day. I don't really care where it is.
We will have to find a way.
Yeah, I mean,
we go.
It's a must. I think it's probably a once, maybe twice in a lifetime thing. Although this will be like the third time we've done it. So, I'm gonna have to find a way to do it. Do you have the last two questions here, or do you want me to?
Yeah, but I do want to touch on that real quick because I think it would be really cool. But my issue is I wouldn't be able to decide which ones I'd want to go. It's like not like I'm in Europe right now. When I used to live in England, it wouldn't be a problem. I would just go to one of the small little London airports like Luton or Stansted.
Or
yeah.
City.
Nah, London City's expensive. I flew into there a few times because I was going like straight to a game, and that shit was expensive.
Really cool runway right along the river, though, if you get a good window seat.
Yeah, well, so I went there a few times, obviously, to fly, but then also the university I was going to go to before I went to Oxford Brookes, I was going to go to University of East London, and then I decided that I wanted to take the train to London instead of live there. Yeah, so where was I going with that? Yes. So I would like to either A, go to like some random really shit away day. I wouldn't say shit. Like just crazy weird, like Azerbaijan. Or something bizarre where we're playing like Astragugu or
Romania, somewhere like that, somewhere weird.
Yeah, play some like Romanian club or something tiny. But then also I would love to go see us play Roma or something
AC Milan or someone like that.
So I might have to start saving and maybe foreclose on my house so I can go to some European games.
For sure.
But, all right, so should we do the last one here?
Yeah.
All right. Really appreciate, shout out to AG Harris. You know, he always be giving us questions, so really appreciate that. The first one is, let's see, 11 left to play, 3 out of the Champions League with 1 more against Chelsea and Leicester. The other 9 winnable. Y'all on the European train yet? Champions League is going to happen. So AG thinks we get in Champions League. I don't know if he's being funny or serious.
I think he's serious.
I think it's a possibility. I wouldn't be like nailed on. I think it's and I don't think he's saying that. I think it's a possibility, but we still definitely have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I'm on the European train. I think we do finish in a European spot, whether that's fifth or sixth or even seventh if we get lucky. And that's, but I don't want to finish seventh and then have to do the European qualifiers again and then get knocked out to a Astragugu again, because I think that's just the most heartbreaking thing. And when we go out,
every
it's like, oh,
season's all weird.
It's a blessing in disguise. Like every time we go out of the cup, it's like, oh, now we can focus on the league. I hate that mentality of focusing on the league. Hate that phrase. Can't stand it. When you're in a relegation battle, I get it. Maybe that can help, but when we're right now, when we are nowhere near the threat of going down and we're in a cup or a European competition, take it seriously. It's not a blessing to lose. I hate that term.
Also, low-key hate the phrase focus on the league as well. Especially, so you said maybe if you're in a relegation battle, but like I actually completely disagree. If we're in a relegation battle, like I want to focus on the cup. Like I want to see us do something fun. Like that relegation shit sucks. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I get that staying in the league is important, but a cup run would be really nice to mask the terrible relegation battle. The second part of the question was along the lines of what are your thoughts on NBCSN closing up shop end of the year? Who's going to have the Premier League rights at, in the States? I haven't heard anything about that yet. I believe NBC still has the rights, though, don't they? It's just going to move to Peacock full time. Is that correct?
This is a subject that I don't know a ton on. I'm Googling NBC Premier League deal right now to see what the deal actually is. But he is correct that NBCSN is closing, but I believe the rights holder is still NBC. And so let's... Okay, so NBC Sports retains the right to the Premier League through 21-22. So after next season, then the deal will be up. Is there a provider that you would like to see pick up the Premier League?
Honestly, over the Peacock has grown on me. I don't mind it. Everyone hates it. Also, I think you and I disagree on this, or I was like, thought you were being ridiculous. No offense, but everyone who's complaining, like, I can't figure out where the game is. Like, I think just look it up. I don't know. There's so much people. I hear people complain about Peacock all the time. Like, this is
we shouldn't have to guess. Like, especially when it's like it's that close to kickoff. But make it simple.
They put it on Twitter. They put it on Twitter every Saturday morning. There's a graphic. It says Peacock, NBC, or NBCSN.
You should put all of the games in one fucking location. So that way they're all right there and you can access. You can pay for it. You can jack up the price. I don't care. But put all the games in one spot. I'm sick and tired of having to guess three times which network it's on. Yes, you can go look it up. Fine. I get that argument. But you shouldn't have to. You should not have to.
I'm going to send it to you every week just so you don't have to get mad.
I have a Fire Stick that I have unlocked the ability to watch every Premier League game, every NHL game. I'm not saying for me. I'm saying for the general person, you should not need to guess around and you should just make it on one platform. Why do you not think that they should be everything on one platform?
Because we're on our phones all day anyway. So what's another
pick and choose games on? Oh, you can't watch this one on this app. Well, but you can't watch it on TV. Oh, but you don't have TV, so it's stupid.
What were you gonna do when you didn't have TV the first time? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, if you didn't have TV before, like 2 years ago,
I don't understand why you don't think making the games more accessible to people is a bad thing. Is what you're telling me?
No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you it's not fucking hard to look. I think they should put every game on Peacock.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm arguing that it's not hard to look if they're not going to do it. Like, they're forcing you to purchase cable, which makes sense. They're out here trying to make money. I think that they should put every game on Peacock and simultaneously broadcast the NBCSN games on Peacock as well.
We agree.
So if you want to put it on Channel 60 NBCSN or Channel 3 NBC, I don't know what it is out here in Philly or any other state. I'm talking about Harrisburg. Then so be it. I think it should also be on Peacock. But I also don't think it's like something that people are yelling at. I mean, you go on the American Hammers Facebook page, and Jesus Christ, you thought NBC murdered somebody. You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think everyone should just look it up and figure out where the fuck the game's at.
Let me finish here. So we agree that everything should be in the same spot. But when you wake up, so it's a 6 a.m. kickoff here, you haven't looked at Twitter, you get up right, and then you're missing 1, 2, 3 minutes of the game. I think it's a nuisance. Like, is it the end of the world? No, obviously it's not that big of a deal. But I'm saying it's a problem that NBC can fix easily, and it's just it's a nuisance, and that pisses people off. Like, yeah, people are dramatic about it. I agree with you that some people make it seem like their child's being murdered because NBC is putting the game on Peacock. All I'm saying is it's a problem that has an easy solution, and it's annoying, and that's what it is. It's annoying, and it's a nuisance, and it can be fixed.
All right, so what time does the game start for you this weekend?
It's a 10 a.m. kickoff here.
It's a 10 a.m. kickoff. Okay, so or let's just say those 6 a.m. kickoffs.
Yeah, it's a 6 a.m. kickoff or 5. Six,
and you get up right at and you're like, oh my god, I can't look. Do you know how you remedy that? Hey Google, set alarm for 5:55 a.m.
Tomorrow at 5:55 a.m. set.
There you go. So you're up 5 minutes early so you can figure out where the game is. Done. There you go. Is that better?
It's a nuisance. You can't deny it's a nuisance.
No, I mean it's a nuisance that is
it's a minor inconvenience.
Well, I mean, if I'm ready to switch TV platforms because I have to get up 5 minutes early to figure out which station it's on, I mean that's obnoxious.
But I think you're oversimplifying the argument. I think you're assuming that everyone has cable and everyone has NBC and everyone has Peacock. I think there's plenty of people that don't have one or the other. And then they wake up, they turn on NBCSN, oh, it's not there. Okay, go to NBC. Oh, it's not there. It's on fucking Peacock when it's a big game against Man United. I mean, I think you
are... It's no different than Gold 3 years ago.
But every game was on Gold.
Not the national ones.
Okay, maybe you're right on that. But
yeah, I am right on that. I'm not trying to be a dick. The NBC game and the NBCSN games weren't on Gold. It's no different. If anything, this is more accessible than Gold, where you have to... Because I stole your Gold, because I was like, I'm not paying $80. Brawley, what's your login? Now, it's like $9.99 a month, which over the year, yeah, maybe is a little more expensive, but it's easier to digest. I have no issues with Peacock. Now, to his other question, if I may, I would like to see it go to ESPN, because I think ESPN's coverage on ESPN Plus is fantastic. With the USL, MLS... They already have Serie A and Bundesliga. They added the Belgian League and I believe Holland as well.
I totally agree.
I think that their coverage is absolutely incredible. And if they added the Premier League, I hope they wouldn't lose anything. They would be the clear favorite leader for content. The only one they wouldn't have is La Liga or the French League, which I believe are on BN USA. So I think the real thing is like, yo, I would like to see go to ESPN, but I have no issue with Peacock, and I think you are correct. I will agree. I feel like I have the advantage of having the accessibility, we could say it like that, to all the games better than other people. I just don't think it's anything different, and all of a sudden Peacock is the Antichrist and Gold was fine.
And
I think Peacock's better, and you get all the regular TV shows. Like I've been binging Chicago Fire PD and Chicago Med, like NBC dramas. So with my $9.99, I get actual TV as well, like The Office and shit, instead of $80 for Gold that I stole from you.
Yeah, I think what people are most annoyed with, which again, this is the way everything's going, is all these streaming services. Netflix, Hulu have taken over the world, and that's the way everything's going. I think people hate a money grab, which I think we're going to have to get over that. I think, and that's all Peacock is a money grab. And when DirecTV had the rights to every single game, that was amazing. It was the only reason I had DirecTV was because every single game was on DirecTV. Luckily, I happened to get my 2-year contract and got those full 2 years, and then when they got rid of the Premier League, I cut it off because I didn't want to pay for anything anymore. But I think it's the way the world's going. But again, I think people's biggest gripes, or at least my biggest gripe, is why can we not put everything in one location, and if you have to pay $20 more or $50 more just to get the rights to every single game, I think that is a solution that can happen, and while minor, yes, it's a minor convenience to have to look up where the game is. Again, it's a nuisance, and people have the right to voice their opinions when it's something is annoying or doesn't work for them. Because like even right now, Peacock isn't available on Fire TV, or I think Roku finally got it, but I still can't get Peacock on my Fire TV without illegally downloading it.
Fair. I don't have Peacock on my Samsung TV. I have to use my Apple TV. So
yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I guess. Yeah. I see the downfalls, and I agree. I just think out of all the issues that there are,
but people blow it way out of proportion. Yeah, we agree on that.
So, but I do agree. I mean, this is where our podcasting fun of arguing, and people like hearing us argue, where we get to the end of the argument and we both agree. Because I do see the point of like, okay, well, if I don't have cable or I can't access Peacock because I don't have the right equipment, I don't find it that big of a deal. And I think you have the right to be mad, but at the same time, I think it's one of the little things in life to be mad about where there's so many other options. I mean, you just have to try.
Anyway, I think we can wrap this episode up.
I think
we
can wrap it up on that. Wow. Holy shit. How long have we done this pod? Because we haven't done a pod in a while, so it really, like, just went on there.
Yeah. Anyway, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at West Ham Way US Pod. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Brawley Darbin. If you want to follow Tony on Twitter, at Tony Clark Dupe. And I think that's about it. Oh, yeah. If you can go leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, it'd be greatly appreciated. And hopefully we'll be able to do a podcast this Sunday after the Arsenal win. And we'll come back to you on Monday with a new pod in your ears. Don't hold us to it because I have a newborn child. So please don't hold us to it.
Don't hold us to it because I'm lazy. So, but yep, signing off from the new house in Philly. Brawley, do you want to take us out on the part that I always mess up? Oh, wait, you actually kind of already did it.
I already said it. Yeah, we're good. So
I know, dude.
We're
you skipped my line. What's up with that? You...
That's my line. We're deucing. We're ending it. See ya. Bye.
Bye. Irons.